Thing on the same calendar, I wish, without objection, recognize the senator from St. Francis on Senate Bill 642.
Senate Bill 642, Senator from St. Genevieve.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 642 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Genevieve. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is for the body.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 642 be declared perfected and ordered printed. There is a Senate committee substitute. Mr. President, my district is blessed with a lot of mining operations. We've historically had about 250 years worth of lead mining. Limestone is of such quality that states as far away as Alabama uses the limestone from our area for their breakers. We have a new mining operation coming into the area, and it's frac sand. And with that comes a little bit of a new twist to how we deal with the mining operation. It is a surface mining. And the individuals that brought this to my attention, and I'm trying to fix a loophole that was created, is that to avoid having to notify the owners of property surrounding the mining area, they moved a buffer zone approximately 30 yards in from the property line and declared that as the mining operation. Therefore, the only ones they had to notify about the mining operation were themselves. And so with this bill, Mr. President, we will close that loophole and require them to notify folks within a half a mile radius of the mining operation. The substitute also includes a process on which appeals process will be taking place. And with that, Mr. President, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator from St. Genevieve has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 642. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion?
Mr. President, I do have amendment.
Please send the amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed.
So you would request a waiver of the reading?
Sir.
Hearing no objection, Senator, to the waiver of the reading. Proceed.
Mr. President, this amendment removes the provision about the notification to landowner, replaces it with language that's a little more definitive. Obviously, as we go through the process and realize that we're dealing with a mining issue close to home, we're going to affect other mining operations across the state. So through negotiations and conversations with other folks that have mining operations within metro areas, we realized we had to modify the language to fit their needs, and that's what the amendment does, is modify the notification and the distance of notification.
Senator from St. Genevieve has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close. Senator from St. Genevieve has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment 1. Senator, we are back on the Senate Committee Substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on the Senate Committee Substitute? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute as amended.
You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Genevieve. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from St. Genevieve, you are now recognized on the perfection motion.
Mr. President, I close. I move that Senate Bill 642, as amended, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from St. Genevieve. Does any senator desire to be heard on the perfection motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The senator from St. Genevieve has renewed his motion that Senate Committee Substitute, as amended, for Senate Bill 642 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 642 has been declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to business of Senate Bill's perfection. I ask you to call the calendar.
Senate Bill's for perfection, formal calendar. It's at 8. Senate Bill 641, Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 641 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Barton. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the perfection and printing of Senate Bill 641. 641 is language that is currently already been passed in criminal code bill. It deals with a kind of an untenable situation that probably everybody in this chamber has been guilty of at one time or another in our existing statutes, which is the transportation of prescription drugs not belonging to someone who is in your family and lives in your home. This came to my attention some time ago when a constituent of mine got stopped on a fired license issue, and it was discovered that she had some prescription drugs of her daughter's, and who no longer lived in the home, and she discovered that was actually a felony in the law that is currently a felony. So we've done with this is we've expanded the authorized transporters of those prescription drugs beyond just the immediate family in the home, and we've extended that to husband, wife, parent, child, sibling, stepchild, stepparent, stepchild, stepbrother, stepsister, grandparent, or grandchild, it doesn't have to be residing in the home in order for you to carry their drugs. If anybody has picked up medication for a family member to deliver to them who are sick or in the hospital, then they've violated the laws that exist. And so this would take care of that. We've already passed it in Senate Bill 491, the criminal code bill, and so I would be glad to answer questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
The Senator from Barton has moved that Senate Bill 641 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the first, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from Barton.
Does the Senator from Barton yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
All right. I just want to take a minute to make sure I understand what we're doing here. I realize it was part of the criminal code, and it may very well have been part of what we discussed in connection with that bill when it was on the floor, any of the many times that it was on the floor. But I just want to make sure. So we're talking about modifying the definition of ultimate user.
Right.
Correct?
Senator, I just got a note that instructs me to lay this bill over.
Got it.
So
well, I will.
Offline whatever the issue was. Mr. President.
Senator from Barton.
Lay this bill on the informal calendar.
Shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 869. Senator from the 15th.
President, I move that substitute for Senate Bill 869, or Senate Bill 869 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 15th. As many are the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a substitute.
Please send the Senate substitute forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. They have been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection to the waiver of the reading, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move for the adoption of the Senate substitute. The Senate substitute, well, let me explain the bill. So the bill, in the event that there is a finding of child abuse or neglect of a family that has adopted a child. Currently, there's no mechanism. Some of these parents are still getting paid, even when the child has been removed from the home, paid the subsidy amount to them after they have been deemed to have abused that child. So what this would do, it would authorize the department to enter into agreements with those families so that in the event that it is determined that there has been abuse and neglect and the child has been removed from the home, that those payments will indeed stop. The difference between the Senate substitute and the original Senate bill is that it moves it beyond just an administrative finding, but that there actually has to be an adjudication of that fact before the subsidy is terminated. And with that, Mr. President, be willing to answer any questions.
Senator from the 15th has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 869. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close on the substitute.
Senator from the 15th has renewed his motion for the adoption of the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 869. As many of the opinion, the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate Bill 869, as amended by the Senate substitute, be perfected and declared, or be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from the 15th has moved the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 869 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Senator has renewed his motion that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 869 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate substitute for Senate Bill 869 has been declared perfected and ordered printed. Senate Bill 494, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 494 be taken up for consideration.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. As many have the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is for the body. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill deals with higher education. This bill started out as a way to take a look at our scholarship programs that we have, Access Missouri, Bright Flight, and A+, and to do more than just to figure out the number of participants that are receiving this, but also to make sure that these scholarship programs are being successful and that we're getting our bang for our buck that the state sends. Also, there are some changes in here in a Senate substitute, and I do have that, and I would like to send that forward.
Please send your substitute forward, Senator.
Thank you. What this does, the Senate substitute basically adds a part of the bill that deals with loan forgiveness. Basically, those that are receiving the Bright Flight, there is a loan forgiveness program, and as long as they stay in Missouri upon graduation, that they will be able to then have part of their loan forgiven for each year of employment after they graduate. It would take off 1 year of scholarship that they would have. The loans are basically would be limited to 10 semesters or their equivalent, and the loan must not exceed tuition, required fees, and things like that. So it wouldn't necessarily be for living expense. It would just be for the main cost of going to school. Would be glad to answer any questions. Yeah, and I believe we have the Senate substitutes right there that are being distributed. Obviously, I will not close until it's been distributed and have a chance to answer
Senator,
the questions.
Senator, were you requesting a waiver of the reading?
Yes, Mr. President, I would request a waiver of the reading, and they are being distributed right now.
Okay. The Senate substitute is being distributed. We will not close on the Senate substitute until it has been fully distributed. Senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 494. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you. To inquire the Senator from Johnson.
Does the Senator from Johnson yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Okay, Senator, so can you help me? This loan forgiveness idea, is it a new idea? Was it heard in committee? Or
so? This is an idea that came from the House. Their chairman of the House Higher Education Committee, Representative Thompson, had this bill, and so the intent of this is, this deals with Bright Flight. And of course, Bright Flight is that scholarship program that identifies the top 3%, top 5% of SAT, ACT scores, and we don't want the best and the brightest to fly from our state. We don't want that flight to occur, so we want to keep them here. And then this is the next progression, and once they're educated in the state of Missouri, then we want them to be employed here. You know, if we spend all this money and this investment, and they go to other places, they go to the coast to be employed, then again, that's not maybe the best use of our investment. And so this is certainly something that no one is required to take. It would be an optional thing that the students could take if they wanted to. And again, they must actually qualify for the Bright Flight program to begin with.
So they qualify for the Bright Flight scholarship, but that's just a grant, right?
Yeah, it is.
And
it's always been called a scholarship, but I think you're probably right.
I mean,
a grant
they just get the money. It's how much is it a year? I know
That's a good question. I'm thinking it's around $2,000 or so. And when it was established in the 90s, it was the amount hasn't increased at all. I mean, so when it started, it was very significant. Now it's really not. It's almost something that's added on top. But this is kind of a new element that would then help those students then say, hey, the state's investing in me. They want me to stay in the state of Missouri. And that's why this was done.
So this is to forgive whatever loans they take out to pay tuition.
That is correct. And it would be limited. And so it wouldn't be for living expenses. It wouldn't be for food. It wouldn't be for automobile and things like that. It would be limited to tuition, any fees associated with that, books and things that are just directly attributed to the scholarship of that school, of that student.
So and then it's forgiven for each year that they remain employed in Missouri.
Right.
So how much will it cost every year that they live in Missouri? How much will it cost the state to forgive their loan?
I believe the fiscal note on the entire bill as far as expanding that was $7 million. And so obviously it would depend on how many students applied for it. It would depend on how many actually stayed in Missouri that whole time that they were requesting the loan. But I believe that was the fiscal note of that.
Yeah, I had a similar idea. I never turned it into a bill a few years back. That this we'd do something like this, but it would be specific to STEM graduates. So it's kids that graduate with science, technology, engineering, math degrees.
And Senator, I do think that we have some similar things like that in our state. You know, we've done one for large animal veterinary. We've done some called Primo loans and AHEC loans, which are for those going into the medical profession that have somewhat of a loan forgiveness type capacity to that. Basically, as we mentioned with veterinary, you know, those really hard to find those areas. And so it's somewhat similar to that. We're just expanding this for our Bright Flight students.
Does it require I appreciate the fact that the fiscal note is $7 million a year. It's obviously a very difficult thing to calculate because, you know, how do you know who will stay?
Right.
Right. So you have to. Do you know what percentage they assumed would stay?
Say that again.
Do you know what percentage of, they can measure the number of recipients? Right. We know how many roughly. But then, so for purposes of the fiscal note, do you know what percentage of the recipients they determined would actually stay and take advantage of the program?
That is one thing we don't know, and that's kind of where the whole bill started out at first. For example, how successful is the Bright Flight program? Do they actually stay? Same way with A-Plus and with Access Missouri. How successful are these programs? And so that's kind of where the bill started out, that we need to determine, you know, the money that we're spending on this, is it going to the right folks? Is it really being successful? Because we might find out some things that maybe we need to put more money in Access or less in another. And so then it also thought that, you know, with Bright Flight, that needs to be expanded somewhat.
Senator, I think this idea of success, I mean, defining success, in my mind, the scholarship programs aren't necessarily intended to educate Missourians and then have them stay in Missouri. I think the intention is to more fully educate Missourians and then kind of let the chips fall where they may. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think a fully educated workforce is certainly a good goal for us. Does it mean that the only students that we need to find an education is 18 to 22-year-old traditional college students? No. And so I would agree that we need to be expanding that to begin with.
I guess what I'm suggesting is that the rationale of the Bright Flight and Access scholarship programs, I'm more than comfortable with just suggesting that they make sense because we're trying to educate kids, you know,
right.
and to the extent they can't afford it. So in some respects, let's say for the child that receives the Bright Flight scholarship, and I don't know, is that limited by family income or is it just purely an ACT score, right?
It would totally be an ACT score. Right. So it is not needs-based. Now, Access Missouri, which is our largest scholarship program, is needs-based. And so we have basically one out of the three programs are needs-based for scholarships that the state funds.
So the Bright Flight recipients who otherwise, say for example, that they weren't going to have to borrow money to go to school, that either their parents could afford to pay for school or they themselves had saved money for school. So now, wouldn't this encourage them to actually take out student loans?
I would say that for the most part, the Bright Flight students are going to be getting quite a few other scholarships. Just the very fact that they have scored very high on these tests, I mean, they're the best and brightest. And so this is the Bright Flight is kind of a icing on the cake. You know, here's another $2,000 bump that we want to keep you here. Now, will it encourage, you know, to me, I think it would encourage them to knowing that they can take out a loan and it be forgiven. I mean, to me, I don't think that necessarily you are encouraging debt. Because one thing that you're from the very beginning, when they sign up for the program, they know that if they leave the state of Missouri, then they do have to pay that back. And again, it's only limited to the actual cost of school. It's not some of the other somewhat cost of living that some people do put in their college loans. So I guess I don't see this as a way that we're really encouraging a lot more debt. I think if anything, it's discouraging that. And it's also encouraging the students to somewhat get through the pipeline quicker and then stay in Missouri.
Well, Senator, I think it would, well, first of all, have you have children that have gone through college yet?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you know that the way that the university or college looks at the student's ability to pay, I mean, they break it out, you know, into tuition and room and board and... Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I totally agree with the idea that one of the big problems we have with our federally guaranteed student loan programs is that loans do go to pay for things like meal plans, right? And meal plans today are very expensive. They can be
right.
made very expensive. So I appreciate that. I think at the end, though, that if I'm a Bright Flight scholar and I'm in a situation where I can afford to pay for school, and I'm just going to pay for school. I'm going to use all the scholarships and grants, obviously, and then I'm going to pay for whatever's left. And then this passes, then I'm almost certainly going to take out a loan for the tuition, again, not knowing if I'm going to be in Missouri or not. Mm-hmm. But I'm most certainly going to take out a loan for the entire tuition amount. Because knowing then that if I do end up staying in Missouri, that the entire amount of that loan, and is it loan in interest as well that's going to be forgiven?
That would be promulgated by Department of Higher Education.
But nonetheless, so it's going to create a definite incentive. I think that the students themselves, they may look at, these are smart kids, right? So smart kid's going to go
right.
Look at the University of Missouri. I say this, let's just pick Columbia. So, okay,
right.
I'm going to go to Columbia, and I'm going to do my homework, and I'm going to find out what percentage of kids that graduate from Columbia work in Missouri. And it's going to be, I don't know, what do you think, Senator, 10%, 20%? It's going to be a pretty high number, right? And then I'm going to say, okay, well, I got a 1 in 5 chance of, if I go to University of Missouri in Columbia, but 1 in 5 chance I'm going to end up working in Missouri. And
I'd hope it'd be higher than that, but...
Well, okay, but if it's higher than that, then it works against what... It supports my argument. If it's 1 in 2, well, then I'm definitely going to take out max loans. I'm going to borrow every single dollar of tuition. Even if I can afford to pay tuition, I'm still going to borrow the money. Such that... Because does this bill forgive the entire amount? I mean, so if I graduate from Mizzou, I'm... $75,000 in debt, and I spend the rest of the next 10 years in working in Missouri, does my entire debt get forgiven?
It would be the loan amount to not exceed tuition, required fees, and minus any scholarships that they had already received. So if they had a lot of scholarships already, and that had reduced the amount of what the tuition was, it would be that. And
Senator, this, and maybe it is what we want to do. I mean, the intended consequence is to have really smart people go to school here first, right? because they have to go to school here to get the
Bright
Flight Scholarship.
Well, we don't want them to leave, right. We want them to stay here.
The Bright Flight Scholarship, you have to go to school somewhere in Missouri or have a reciprocal, or a university around the Midwest that there's a reciprocal relationship, right? I think that's true. My daughter's at KU studying architectural engineering.
Right,
she's a very
right.
bright student. I think that that's transferable.
I think you're right. And then, for example, like we have, you know, the dental program and,
right.
and the optometric program, that we do have some reciprocating agreements with,
right.
with
so,
other states.
So
I think that would probably be something that would certainly qualify.
They have a very smart person who gets this grant, and let's assume they get two or three more. And so they go to pay their tuition and their fees and their books. And so if I had to guess, the University of Missouri at Columbia, it's $15,000 to $20,000 a year. And then if we deduct 5 or 10, let's just say it's net $10,000 net of scholarships. So
right.
that student is going to borrow every single dollar they can borrow, because those are smart kids. And then they're going to go to university. And if they move out of state, they'll say, fine, I got to pay my debt off. And my student, that's the deal. But if they stay in state, I mean, I just think that, you know, it's not a very populated room this afternoon. This is a lot of money. I mean, the fiscal note, again, I'd really like to see how they calculate the fiscal note. I don't think this stops at $7 million. I think this is a very large unintended loophole that smart kids will borrow every single dollar they can borrow. Let me ask you this question. Do they have to go to state schools, or can they go to private schools?
Bright Flight would be for Missouri schools.
So you can go to a private school and borrow money and have that be forgiven? And Senator, my concern is...
I need to get back with you on that. I totally understand.
That these are fair enough questions.
And again, one thing, Senator, is that... obviously, there's a finite pool. I mean, it's a very limited number to begin with that qualify for this.
As I mentioned earlier, Senator, okay. I had a similar idea a couple years ago with exactly the same thought, which was, how do we get the really smart kids in STEM to stay in Missouri and work here? Okay, that was the thought. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that we modify it to have it just be STEM, because, I mean, the other aspect here is, you know, this is for every single degree that's out there, you know.
Right.
But when I pursued that thought and went through it and said, well, what is this going to do? What are the unintended consequences of this, you know? And actually, my idea was that we would allow them, I ultimately ended up with, we would allow them to work here for the first 10 years and not pay any state income taxes. That you let the STEM kids that work here could work here with, and they'd get a tax cut of 100% state taxes to get them to stay. So anyway, my concern here with this is that what I'm hearing, so is it, do we know, is it private schools too?
It is both public and private.
Okay, Senator, now it's not limited by income, right?
Right.
Okay, so now I think we've opened up, this is not, okay, now, here's this example. Really, really smart kid gets $10,000 worth of scholarships, goes to Washington University, tuitions $32,000, fees, other fees, books, $7,000 or $8,000. The kid can actually afford to pay for school. His parents have got the wherewithal. They've set up a. Now the kid goes, I'm borrowing the whole darn thing, and he's definitely going to be able to borrow the money. So he goes and borrows $120,000 to graduate from Wash U, and then he stays in Missouri for 10. I mean, I think the fiscal note on this could be huge, because. I mean, again, do we know how many people are in Bright Flight? Is it hundreds? It's thousands of kids. It would be
several thousand. Mm-hmm.
So the ones that pursue private school, I mean, I think you're talking, you know, you could be easily be $50,000 to $100,000 in debt that we're going to forgive then. And do we forgive the whole thing in 10 years, or is it the
length
of it?
And again, these are the students that we want to stay in Missouri.
I understand, but how much money do we want to spend to get them to stay in Missouri?
Right. I mean, and that's what this part of the bill talks about is the investment to do that, to have those students stay in the state of Missouri.
But you don't have any of the. Do you have a copy of the fiscal note or the methodology of how it was created? Or
again, the purpose of this bill is to do a study to see exactly how many. how many there would be that would take advantage of something like this?
It's a study only.
Well, if that is how the bill started out, to do a study, and then it was to expand the Bright Flight program. But part of it will be to study exactly how many students there will be that take advantage of something like this as
but
well.
The amendment's
and,
not,
and, of course, it is subject to appropriations. Right now, there's nothing that's been appropriated for this. So it would have to be appropriated for this to actually happen.
So your amendment is to study it or is to put it into law that the program actually exists?
It would actually be both. I mean, we're taking a look at studying the Bright Flight Access and A+, and then also to expand the Bright Flight program.
Okay.
So it would be more than just a study for the Bright Flight program.
Wouldn't it be logical, Senator, then, that you actually might do the study first, like you started out to do, to determine whether or not Access and Bright Flight are good programs? I mean, learn about them. I don't know, how long has it been since they've been reviewed that, you know, triggered the desire for a study?
I don't know if it's ever been reviewed. I mean, we know the amounts, we know the students, we know the dollar amounts that we spend, but as far as are we spending the money in the right way, is it truly keeping students in the state of Missouri, especially for the Bright Flight, is it really accomplishing what we set out to do? I don't think that we really know that. And so what this is designed to do is to give an incentive, obviously. I mean, you've talked about the incentive. Evidently, you feel it's a good incentive for students to stay in the state of Missouri, and I think that's I think that would be very positive.
Well,
thank you.
I think it would be better for Missouri if Bright Minds chose to stay here. What I'm concerned about, Senator, is the nature of the incentive, and I applaud the idea that we'd have a study to review the existing scholarship programs if what you suggested is true, that we've not ever taken the time to review the quality of the programs themselves. So that's great. But to introduce into legislation and create an entirely new program, you know, a loan forgiveness program, and then, again, was this program you said was vetted in the House, but it had not been vetted in the Senate.
And I was just handed a note that Representative Stream, who's the chairman of the House Budget Committee, has put the money in the House Bill 2003, so which is the higher education bill for loan forgiveness. So that
to give
money,
the loan forgiveness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But do you understand, Senator, that so when would it become effective? So would there be students that are graduating in the matter of weeks that graduate with loans that then if they stay, their loans would be forgiven? And again, I don't know this answer. If somebody borrows money for 10 years, they take out a student loan, it's a 10-year loan, so we're going to forgive one-tenth of the entire amount the first year?
It would be, obviously, you couldn't just go out and forgive loans for something that doesn't exist, for loans that were just created. It would be for new students who were actually applying for the program. Now, Bright Flight is not just for your freshman year. You get it every year.
No, but we're going to have Bright Flight people will be graduating in the spring, right?
Right, but they would not have been a part of the program yet. And so they would have to sign up for the program. So theoretically, I guess the very first year you would see would be a year and a half from now once they had finished. Let's say if a junior right now decided to sign up for next year, their senior year,
okay.
then when they would graduate, let's say a year from now, they stayed in Missouri, then they would be, that's when they would, in my opinion, would be eligible for some of the repayment. Again, this would be up to the Department of Higher Education to promulgate the rules on how they're going to do that.
So then the fact that Representative Stream has appropriated money in this year's budget, how is that applicable? It seems to me that there's nobody that will qualify for it in the next budget.
I'm just saying that would be the earliest that they possibly could. I think you're right. It would be further down the road when you would then have graduating seniors, freshmen, sophomore, juniors. It would take a while to gear up.
Now, Senator, my understanding is that when we do fiscal notes, we study the next 3 years, right? Is that right? We do a three-year fiscal note?
Yes.
I'm very confused. And so the first year, you said the first year is $7 million?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. First of all, I'm very confused why it would be anything other than zero. since no one, according to what you just said, is no one would be actually be in the program. So someone graduating, a Bright Fight person who graduates this May and now is employed in Missouri for the next budget year, well, you've told me that person does not qualify to have his loans forgiven, right? Because they didn't sign up for the program, they just graduated.
Right. Well, they wouldn't be, I mean, you're talking about someone graduating from high school?
No, from college. You're forgiven the college loans,
right.
Correct?
Right.
So, okay, so a college graduate with a Bright Fight scholarship graduates this May. They stay in Missouri. Now, do they have to be employed in Missouri or just live in Missouri?
The thought is that they would be employed in the state of Missouri.
The requirement they'd be employed?
Those would be some of the specifics that would have to be worked out through the Department of Higher Education. The thought is we want them to stay in Missouri. Now, you talked about the cost of it. What we're looking at is that because you get Bright Flight every year, then there could be some folks that were in their junior year of college. Perhaps they could sign up for their senior year,
right?
Get that a Bright Flight expansion for their senior year.
They borrow money for 1 year.
For 1 year. So that's maybe why they could get started.
And they graduate May of 15.
Right.
And then I would assume that in your bill it says they have to be employed for a full year, right?
Right.
Is that right? Or is there rules to be promulgated?
The rules would have to be promulgated, but for the most part it's a one-to-one, so that they would have to be employed.
So if they graduate in May of 15, then they wouldn't have worked for a year until June of 16. And again, this is for somebody who joins this program, enters into this program for at the very end of their college time.
Right.
So they're only going to qualify for 1 year's worth of loan for, you know, essentially 1 year's worth of whatever they borrow will be forgiven. And so they don't even qualify until the summer of 16. And so the fiscal note looks at 14 to 15, so it should be zero. 15 to 16, it should be pretty low because it only allows for 1 year's worth of tuition that you had to borrow to be forgiven.
Oh, I would definitely agree that the very first year or so starting this up, there would be very, very few, if any, folks that take advantage of this that are recipients of it. So
what I'm here to suggest, Senator, is that what you're putting forward and you're suggesting has a $7 million fiscal note. I think the fiscal note could be tens of millions of dollars within 5 or 6 years. It could, especially with the dramatic continuing rise in education, the cost of education, with tuition, if we inflate, you know, if we go at this current rate of inflation, tuition is going to double in less than 10 years. So there's no cap to the dollar amount?
There's no cap in this, right. But again, there is a cap on the number of students. I mean, you're talking about the top 3% of ACT scores. So it's not like it's a number that's going to grow. It's a very limited amount.
I think that the idea I had a couple years ago, and then I didn't have the... I think if we said to all of our college graduates, or would be a better idea, would say to all of our STEM graduate, you can be from anywhere in the country as a STEM graduate, and we'll wipe out your Missouri State taxes for your first 10 years that are here. I think if you do something like that, you can bring, I mean, we want the best and brightest minds here,
right,
whether or not we've grown homegrown or not. And if anything, if they go to state universities and other schools, and that state subsidizes their education, which happens at public schools, and they come here because there's no income tax, I think my idea, which I didn't have the nerve to put forward, would cost a fraction of what this idea would cost. Okay, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from the 24th.
Can I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
Does the senator from Buchanan is in the chamber. Senator from Buchanan? The senator from the 24th has asked for an inquiry. Would you yield? Senator?
Mr. President.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you. I ask this bill be placed on the informal calendar.
It shall be placed on the informal calendar with the Senate substitute pending. Senator from Newton.
President, I object to the Senate go to order of business reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. We've got a couple of our senators coming. Okay, Senator, why don't we take yours first? Senator from Newton.
I have a report.
Please send it forward. Secretary, please read the reports.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, after examination of House Bill 1633, respectfully requests that it be removed from the Senate consent calendar in accordance with the provisions of Senate Rule 45. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, after examination of House Committee Substitute House Bill 1300, respectfully requests that it be removed from the Senate consent calendar in accordance with the provisions of Senate Rule 45. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, and Ethics, after examination of House Committee Substitute House Bill 1389, respectfully requests that it be removed from the Senate consent calendar in accordance with the provisions of Senate Rule 45. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, after examination of House Bill 1206, respectfully requests that it be removed from the Senate consent calendar in accordance with the provisions of Senate Rule 45. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 704, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill Number 842, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill Number 844, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 850, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 852, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 873, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill Number 992, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Please refer Senate Bill 844 and Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 850 to the Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight Committee. Senator from Christian, you have a report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Financial, Governmental Organizations, and Elections has a report.
Please send it forward. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which was referred House Bill 1270, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which was referred House Bill 1968, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Wasson, Chairman.
Senator from Green.
President, your Committee on Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence has a report.
Please send it forward.
After I read the report.
Please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, to which was referred House Bill 1245, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Dixon, Chairman.
Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Veterans Affairs and Health has a report.
Please send it forward. Secretary, when you receive it, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Veterans Affairs and Health, to which was referred, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 1510, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Veterans Affairs and Health, to which was referred, House Bill 1656, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Veterans Affairs and Health, to which was referred, House Bill 1724, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Brown, Chairman.
Senator from the 24th. Please send it forward. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Pensions, to which was referred, House Bill 1301, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Pensions, to which was referred, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 1217, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Pensions, to which was referred, House Bill 1835, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Pensions, to which was referred, House Bill 1184, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Pensions, to which was referred, House Bill 1064, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Lamping, Chairman.
Senator from Webster.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight has a report.
Please send it forward. Secretary, when you receive it, please read that report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred, House Bill 1081, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 1090, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred, House Bill 1791, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
President, without objection, the Senate will go to business for announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments will meet Wednesday, April 16th at 8:30 a.m.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements, Senator from Cole.
President, your hardworking Committee on Transportation and Crumbling Infrastructure will meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., Senate Committee Hearing Room, whatever the number is opposite of appropriations. One.
Thank Further you. Announcements? Hearing none, Senator from Newton.
No further business come from the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.